We are talking about saving for college here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. 529 plans allow families to save and invest money for a child's education and then make tax-free withdrawals to pay for things like tuition and books and housing. Today is National 529 College Savings Plan Day, and it's a day when states and investment firms try to draw attention to these accounts. Are you socking away money in a college fund? What questions do you have about 529s or Wisconsin's own EdVest program? How much do you put away a month or a year, and how does that work into your budget? We're at 800-642-1234 for you to join in this hour. Kathy Blumenfeld is Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Financial Institutions. The agency regulates state-chartered financial institutions and securities. It also houses the Office of Financial Literacy and College Savings Programs. Kathy, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you, Kate. I'm delighted to be here today.
So we know the average cost of tuition and fees for a public university as an in-state student, it's around $10,000 a year. How should we approach saving up for college? Where do we begin?
That's a great question, and it's one that most families struggle with because the demands upon them are so great financially. What I'd like to say is really start early. So when their child is born, at least start thinking about college. Open up a college savings account. Whether or not you can fund it with a lot at the beginning or not, get into the habit of saving. So savings really becomes a habit. So starting early and being consistent about savings. The nice thing about our college savings programs in Wisconsin are that you can open it in 15 minutes with as little as $25. So taking maybe one gift that you get when your child is born and putting it to use to start that process, and then trying to set up some kind of automatic savings. So it could be as little as $15 a month out of a paycheck that goes directly into your account. I like set it and forget it. So for me, and I think studies have proven this, that if you can start early and actually never see that money, so it never comes into your bank account, there's never a temptation to spend that, you're going to be much more successful with your saving. So start early, be consistent about it. And then ask friends and families to help support you. So we all see kids with bazillions of toys and, you know, surrounded at birthday parties. Have a wish list that involves a contribution into your college savings account.
You remind me when, you know, starting early, I think about it when the Social Security card comes for that infant. And that's, to me, like that trigger. It's like, okay, now, you know, it's time to open that 529 account. And so with my kids, it was like, you know, in the middle of the night, you're awake and you're waiting for them to wake up because it's about time to feed. And I would find myself at that point when it's so quiet and there's nothing going on and you're wide awake because that baby's about to get up. You just open that account, right?
And it's nice. It's online. We have a really great website at www.edvest.com. It's super easy to set up. And I'm right there with you in those middle of the nights where you're laying there awake. Put it to good use and set that account up. And it's just amazing the power of compound interest. And just putting away as much as you can spare in those early years just pays off so much when it's time to go to college.
We're talking about saving for college and 529 college savings accounts with the Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Financial Institutions, Kathy Blumenfeld. The agency houses the Office of Financial Literacy and College Savings Programs. What questions do you have about saving for college? Have you opened an EdVest account? What do you need to know? How disciplined are you about depositing into your college savings account? We're at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Kathy, there are so many competing interests in a family budget and so many different demands. There are the car repairs and the groceries and the mortgage or, you know, the credit card debt. And then there's retirement. So how do you prioritize those competing interests when saving for college?
Again, that's a great question. And as a CPA, people ask me this all the time, with help with their personal finances. I believe saving and having an emergency fund is the number one thing that you have to save for. So 3 months of income being put away in a liquid place that if something happens, you have a car repair, you have someone gets sick in your family, something comes up unexpected, that is the number one thing to save for. The second is to begin to save, again, thinking of saving as a habit, beginning to save for retirement early. Again, even if it's a minimal amount, getting that set it and forget it habit and putting away for retirement. And then third becomes really opening up the savings account for or savings vehicle. And there are many, mm-hmm. and we'll talk about those. But setting up a saving vehicle for your child for college is third. But emergency savings is so important. In our state alone, in Wisconsin, over 50% of people can are living paycheck to paycheck, and they don't have those emergency savings accounts. So anything that you can do to really work on that first, and then thinking long-term retirement and then college savings.
So what are the savings plans that are out there for college funds? Because it's not just 529s, which we'll get to in a moment. What does the landscape look like?
There are lots of ways to save for college. And so a college savings plan, a 529 account, and they're called 529 accounts. You might wonder, like, why? Well, I'm a 529 geek, so today is 529, May 29th, and it's really exciting. And
wait, let me guess. You read tax code?
Oh, maybe sometimes. Governor Evers is even so excited about it that he issued a proclamation today to commemorate National 529 Day. And it's really just reiterating our state's commitment to providing families with options to save for college. So we're going to have a celebration later at the mm-hmm. office. We have cupcakes, and we're very excited about this day. And we have our 529 or a college savings board meeting today where we're going to look at that. But there are lots of different ways in which you can save for college. I remember my grandparents who came here from Eastern Europe with one suitcase, never went to college. Education was really important for them. And so they would give us U.S. savings bonds for our birthday. And mm-hmm. I'd be like, oh, okay. You know, wasn't that exciting to open up? But I can tell you that when it was time to go to college, it was just really amazing to have those funds available. So you can start as easy as, you know, a traditional savings account, a mutual fund. There's a Coverdale program that offers a vehicle to save for college as well. And those also can cover some K-12 costs as well. And those come with some kind of restrictions on them. So mm-hmm. it's important to know those. Most states have a 529 plan, a college savings plan. And each state, it's a little nuanced. So each state has a little bit of a different offering. So there's a great website out there that is really looks at, it's called savingforcollege.com. And it really is a very nice way to look at all the different programs that are out there. And some 529 programs like EdVest are direct, so, you know, direct. You go in and you set up the account, you choose the investments, and some are sold through an advisor.
And we'll get into those investment brokers in just a moment. Talking with Kathy Blumenfeld, she's our guide on 529s, Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Financial Institutions. And you can join in 800-642-1234. Are you a college student? How are you paying for college? Do you have a 529? Let's talk about it. We'll be back in a minute on the Ideas Network. We're talking about 529 college savings accounts on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. According to a report from the Pew Charitable Trusts, the number of 529 accounts grew 30% between 2010 and 2017. There are now 13 million of them. Do you have a 529 account for your child, such as the EdVest plan here in Wisconsin? How often do you make deposits? How do you decide how much you should put in as you juggle your family finances? And financial aid officers, how frequently do families come to you for help? What are the questions they ask? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Kathy Blumenfeld is the Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Financial Institutions, and she stays with us answering your questions. Let's go to the phones now with Amy joining us from Madison. Hi, Amy.
Hi. Good morning.
What's your question? Good morning.
My question is, I have one child and an EdVest account. My child is young. What if she decides not to go to college at all, and I've saved money in my EdVest account? What are the allowable reasons to withdraw money? Do I lose the money, or, you know, maybe I'd be better off saving in a different type of account since I'm not certain she's going to college and I only have one child?
Great question. So at some point, you may find that you want to transfer the ownership of your account to another individual or entity to be the account owner. So it could be a relative. I kind of think about Thanksgiving dinner table, and you look around the table, and is there a niece or a nephew that you might want to transfer that money to? Or do you want to use it for yourself? Many people are going back to school or using the funds for themselves to further their education later in life. You can pull the money out, so you would pay taxes on the interest and earnings, but you can pull the principal out of that account. So you still have that money that is left in the account for you. But there's also ways you can save, and you can even think towards grandchildren down the road. And wouldn't that be a nice benefit to let that money grow over that time and have a really nice legacy that you would be able to help your grandchildren go to school? So there's many options for savings with a 529 plan.
Amy, do any of those options seem feasible to you?
Yes. I think what's nice to know is that I could just pull the money out and at least get back what I put in and pay taxes on the earnings. And so then there's, I guess, no loss there.
When did you take out an EdVest account, a 529, for your child, may I ask?
When she was born, kind of like you guys are talking about, we started with $25.
Fantastic.
You know, and we're up to a few thousand, and we're trying to save slowly.
Yeah. Thanks so much for the call, Amy. Kathy, when you look at these 529s, Wisconsin's version is called EdVest. Now, the child has to be born before you can open an account. How does that work?
So, yeah, as soon as the child is born, you can open an account in their name. They get their Social Security card, and you open up the account. And there's two different ways in which you can set up a 529 plan in Wisconsin with our plans. One is EdVest, which is the direct sold. You know, you go in and you set it up. But we also have a program called Tomorrow Scholars, and that is an investor-sold program. So if you don't feel comfortable with your investment choices, and maybe you have an investment advisor that you use and really want them to help guide you in your decision-making, you can go to your investment advisor and get a advisor-sold program. So the direct one is EdVest, and the advisor-sold program is Tomorrow Scholar. So the fee structure is a little bit different because you have a live person in there that's you're paying some fees for.
That would be a commission-based system?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. And then, but it's still, if that is your comfort level, you have that option as well. And then both from a tax advantage and so forth, they work very similarly. But we really wanted to provide options for both types of investors.
What do fees look like, you know, between a state-run college savings programs, 529s, versus investment brokerage firms' offerings?
So the investment brokerage is a little bit more, but we're very fortunate in Wisconsin. We have the eighth lowest fees in the nation. So we score really, really well on low fees. And again, if you go to savingsforcollege.com, there's a comparison tool that you can look at, and you can really compare programs side by side and look at kind of how those fees are incorporated and make decisions based on your comfort level.
How is Wisconsin's 529 plan different from other states? Of course, there are fee structure differences, but what are some of the other differences, perhaps?
So one really nice feature is the tax deduction. So this year, I think it's $3,280 per child that you can get a tax deduction for on your Wisconsin state tax returns. So it's really a great feature and a great incentive to be able to save, to know that you're going to get that benefit. We have really good tools on our website. I really encourage everyone to go out and look at edvest.com, because there are so many planning tools, there's articles, there's just tons and tons of resources on the site. Whether you use Edvest or not, you can really take advantage of these resources.
Let's take another call now. Let's go to Kurt joining us from South Milwaukee. Hi, Kurt.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I believe that there's college is fantastic. A lot of people get a lot of good, and we have good education. But there is a percentage that go to college, end up dropping out in the first or second year with debt, and they never should have been instructed to go there. What's the big push? Why not more trade school?
So, again, trade schools are great, and we see a really strong and vibrant trade school in our technical college system in the state of Wisconsin. So Edvest can be used not only for the UW system schools, it can be used for trade schools, it can be used for private colleges. So you really have a lot of leeway in terms of post-high school education that you can take advantage of your funds that are in the 529 program. And it doesn't just cover tuition. It can cover room and board. It can cover fees. Some of the different majors have high fees for lab costs or different fees that are associated with particular majors. So there are so many, even to buy a computer for college, you can use your 529 accounts. So it's not just limited, and I think that's a really important fact. It's not limited just to the tuition costs. Dorm costs have gone up significantly, living costs. And I don't know if anyone's driven through Madison, but the choices in living are so different today than they were when I went to school and we lived in, you know, some dumpy house and it was very cheap. You can now live in luxury high-rises. We suggest that you still approach college with frugality and really think about, you know, the totality of the cost of college and what the impact will be post-college if you are taking out student loans. And we'll talk a little bit more about student loans in a bit here. But I think it's important to know, you have three kids, you said, so the money can, you know, you can move money between the different kids. So if that third kid, you know, if you have money left over from child one and child two, I have three kids and I move money, you know, back and forth between the accounts because there were some years we could save more and some years we could save less, but really want to try and help our kids as much as we can. So that money can transfer between kids. It can move down to grandchildren, nieces and nephews, cousins, pretty much, again, anyone at that Thanksgiving Day table, that large table, even if it's a virtual table, can really benefit from these funds.
Well, Kurt was asking about debt as well. Can the 529 savings account pay for student loans?
So not at this point, but interestingly, right now there's legislation in Congress, and it just passed the House that would allow funds to be applied from your 529 to student loans payments, as well as apprenticeships, homeschool costs, and but the biggie is really being used to pay down student debt. The bill is known as the SECURE Act of 2019. It passed the House, and it's working its way through Congress. So we don't know whether or not that will come to fruition or not. But it's certainly an active topic right now in Congress.
So really, those 529s are for the front end when a tuition bill comes in, that you use that money then directly for that before the loans.
That's correct. And the one thing it doesn't, a couple things that it maybe doesn't cover is really the application fees for school.
Mm-hmm.
And we do encourage people to apply to more than one school because the offers from different schools can vary tremendously. And then it gives you, it puts you in a position of choice. The other thing is many kids study abroad now. And so this actually covers your tuition and room and board and fees in an abroad program.
It is National 529 College Savings Plan Day. Kathy Blumenfeld is our guide. She's Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Financial Institutions. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you created or donated to a 529 College Savings Fund? Why is that important to you? What's it like helping a student pay for college? And what do you want to know about 529 funds and the EdVest Fund here in Wisconsin? Call in, tweet us, WPR Mornings. We'll get back to this conversation after a news update here on the Ideas Network. We're talking about 529 college saving plans. Like EdVest here in Wisconsin, it's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Americans collectively save hundreds of billions of dollars for their children's education through 529 funds. 529s are named after a section of the federal tax code, and they're available through these government-sponsored programs in nearly all states. Some surveys have found that fewer than a third of Americans over age 20 have ever heard of them, and these accounts disproportionately benefit upper-middle-class families. Your questions and your personal family situation on 529s, they're welcome this hour at 800-642-1234. Are you a college loan officer? How often are students or parents taking out loans for college? And how do 529s factor into the financial mix for a student's aid package? Call in. You can also email ideas at WPR.org. Kathy Blumenfeld is our guide. She is Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Financial Institutions, and she stays with us. Let's go back to the phones now with Catherine joining us from Augusta. Hi, Catherine.
Hello there. I'm calling because I have a set of twins, actually, that are sophomores this year, and they won't graduate for another 2 years. But is it too late to start a fund like this for them?
Absolutely not.
They are 17. No? Okay.
It is never too late to start saving for college. So okay. I would suggest opening up an account. And if you think about it, every dollar that you put in over the next presumably they're in college for 4 years. So that's really, 6 years you're still saving money for. So I'd highly recommend it. Every dollar you put in into college savings translates. It could be $2 that you'd be paying in student loan debt. So think about really anything that you can put away for them. And again, friends and family, keep thinking about that for opportunities to help others around you, shower them with gifts of education. It's really a nice gift, and I think even your daughters would really appreciate it. And if they have part-time jobs, you might consider asking them to put half of their earnings into those accounts too. It's really important, and we've done some research about skin in the game. And so having your kids really contribute to their college education is so important. And many families, even if they could, if money were no object, they say that they would still have their kids, contribute to the cost of their education because it's much more meaningful when the kids are also contributing. So, yes, open those accounts.
And another thing that I'm wondering about, too, is if it's you're investing much later in the child's life as they prepare for their next step, What about the different types of options for investing? A more conservative approach, perhaps?
Yes, I'd recommend a much more conservative, more liquid approach at this age, considering that they are 17. There are a lot of options to choose from, but you would probably want to keep something that is low risk so that in the case that the market goes crazy, like we've seen in the past years, you're somewhat protected from that.
Thanks, Catherine. Let's go to Jess now, joining us from Portage. Hi, Jess.
Good morning.
What's on your mind?
So I have two questions. One of them is, if I have a plan from out of state, can I roll that over into the Edvest plan? And then also, what if my child decides that she just doesn't want to go to college?
Those are two great questions, Jess. Thank you. So absolutely, you can roll your funds over from another state. In Wisconsin, one of the big benefits is that the principal that you roll over from the fund in another state, you can get a tax deduction. So let's say there was $10,000 of principal that you rolled over from a fund in another state. You could take that and get not only the tax deduction, the $3,280 in this year, but we have a carry forward. So the leftover money, you could take the tax deduction over the next few years for the remainder of that principal. And that's a really attractive incentive for rolling over into funds into our state plan. Not all states have that feature. And you can also, if you move to another state, I think that's another question that I get fairly often, you can roll the funds over into another state. But each state is so different, it really makes sense to look at what are the advantages in those states. So you might want to keep your plan here and open up a new plan in the state that you're moving to so that you can take advantage if they have tax deductions. Or you might just choose to keep it here. Many people just leave their Edvest account because they know it, they trust it, and it's easy.
When you roll over, though, are you faced with some fees there in that rollover?
We try and make the rollovers in and out very easy and simple to do.
Thanks so much, Jess, for the call.
We also had the scholarship question.
Oh,
sorry.
Go ahead.
I wanted to get to that because this is a great feature. So congratulations to anyone that gets a scholarship. And there are lots and lots of scholarship opportunities out there. Again, we have a second website that we sponsor at the Department of Financial Institutions, and it's called lookforwardwisconsin.gov. It's a great resource for planning for college and access to lots and lots of scholarships. But if you are fortunate and you do get a scholarship, let's say you get a $2,000 scholarship, you can pull the $2,000 out of your Edvest or Tomorrow Scholar program and with no penalty. So it's almost a reward for that savings, but you can pull that same dollar amount out of your funds to use for anything with no penalty. So, again, I'd really encourage, there's so many scholarships out there that really encourage your children to apply for as many as possible.
We're talking about saving for college using 529 accounts with Kathy Blumenfeld. She's Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Financial Institutions. Are you saving money to help a child go to college? How much do you put away a month or a year? How does that work into your budget? What's your long-term goal? And how disciplined is your plan? We're at 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Let's go back to the phones now with Rana joining us from Rice Lake. Hi, Rona.
Hi, good morning. My daughter is a sophomore at Madison, and this is the first time hearing about Edvest. She wants to pursue a master's and perhaps a PhD. My question is, Edvest only good for the first 4 years, or does it work for continued education past a bachelor's degree?
It works for all accredited education. So I think there are thousands and thousands of programs, accredited programs, whether it's private college, public college, technical school. So it will work for your daughter. And congratulations on her pursuit of higher education. You absolutely can open an account now and continue to save for her graduate studies. And I think it'll be a helpful tool for you as well.
There was some recent legislation passed being able to use it toward qualifying tuition for private elementary and secondary schools as well?
That is correct. So you now can use your funds for private school, K through 12. And it's important when, again, I'm not going to give tax advice here because that's not what I should be doing. But it's important, I think, when you're looking at that to compare it with the tax deductions that are available for elementary and high school, because there's also a tax deduction. So every family is in a different situation. But you can, you can use that money, your EdVest funds, for tuition for K through 12 in public, in private schools.
So what are the risks of saving in a 529 plan like EdVest? These accounts are investing in the stock market.
They are. And one of the really nice features, and probably the most popular feature, is we're trying to make it simple for investors. So the most popular funds are these age-based or enrollment-based funds, where you've got really smart investors behind the scenes that are looking at the age of your children and looking at your risk tolerance and trying to make sure when they're very young and you've got time to kind of ride the ups and downs. The market.
Yeah.
But that's where you really can make the biggest gains over time. And then as your child gets closer and closer to college age, those funds get automatically transferred. You don't have to do anything. They automatically get transferred into more conservative funds as they get close to college to make sure that you're not subject to the whims of the market. And so it's really a brilliant way to save for college. I mean, the neat thing about 529s, again, my 529 geekiness is coming out, but we really, these funds are just, they are designed for education. And so they really try to have your family and your goals of education in mind and give you the best value at the end of, at the time in which your child goes to school to be in the best position to have the most money available for you. But if you like to invest and you like to pick your funds, there's a multitude of options for you to choose from in our program.
And so you can actually curate your own investments through an option through EdVest as well.
Absolutely. So
yeah, and then you can also do the automatic deposits, as you were saying, through your work?
Sure. We have a program called EdVest at Work, and I'm super excited about this. And more companies around Wisconsin are taking advantage of it. So in their HR benefits area, you can go to our website again and download a really easy toolkit to set up EdVest at Work. It costs nothing, very simple to do. And when you go through the enrollment process for your benefits, when you're picking your health care and your flexible spending account and so forth, you can actually choose EdVest. And you can put money aside in that program, and it goes automatically from your paycheck into your EdVest account. You don't have to do anything, kind of set it and forget it.
We're talking 529 plans through the hour with Kathy Blumenfeld, Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Financial Institutions. Have you opened a 529 account? How do you prioritize how much money you should sock away? How do you strike a balance with your family expenses like car payments and credit card payments and saving for your own retirement? Do you have a formula for contributing to your child's college fund? Share it with us, 800-642-1234. Back in a minute on the Ideas Network. We're talking about 529 plans here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Families that are worried about how they're going to afford college have been dedicating more and more money into these college savings plans that are known as 529s. And today is National 529 College Savings Plan Day. The latest figures on these plans have grown to more than $300 billion in assets. Do you have a 529 for your kid? What do you want to know about how to pay for college? There's still time for your question. Your call at 800-642-1234. Kathy Blumenfeld is Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Financial Institutions, and that agency houses the Office of Financial Literacy and College Savings Programs. So Jim shared over email that he uses the Tomorrow Scholar program for his two kids, and he asked if it would be possible to transfer money to EdVest. Can families do that?
Yes, they can. So they can call our call center at 1-888-338-3789, and we can help you through that process, but absolutely.
And we'll have that number on our website as well, WPR.org, the morning show page, and we'll have lots of resources there that you can find on this topic. Shelby from Elkhorn also shared over email that she has two grandchildren who are 11 days old. Congratulations. And she asked if they should open separate accounts, or is it possible to have one shared account?
I would suggest opening up separate accounts. Again, you can transfer money back and forth, but then you know that each child has their own savings account, and there's no cost. It doesn't cost more to open up a second account. So I'd recommend it, and it's kind of fun. Maybe at some point they'll have babysitting jobs or, you know, jobs and want to kind of have a little competition of who's going to save more. So, but whatever suits you is fine.
Well, there are also FAFSA applications, right, that are another thing, that element in the whole college journey. What is a FAFSA?
So FAFSA is a form that you fill out as you're approaching college, and it helps you and helps a school really determine what type of financial aid, loans, grants, etc., are available. And one thing that is important to note is it's important to fill that form out early. So October 1st is the first day. I'd put it, if you've got kids going to college, I would put it on your calendar right now and fill it out on opening day. Think of it as like opening day of the Brewers, only it's opening day of the FAFSA form. And the reason is that some of the funds that are available for financial aid are on a first-come, first-served basis. So those that fill out the form right away have the greatest chance of getting that. The other thing is people say, oh, well, I don't want to save in a 529 program because maybe I won't get as much financial aid. But the 529 funds are really weighted very, very low in the formulas and the calculation. Most what's weighted high is your earnings and your non-retirement income. So really, saving is a good idea in a 529 account because it's not a big ding on your ability to get financial aid. The other thing just to think about, and I did this personally, so I went, my first child, to fill out the FAFSA form, and I got all the information that you need. You know, you've got to gather up your ID, your social security number, your driver's license, your tax records, your assets, the list of schools that you want to apply to. So you get all of that stuff together. You go online and you start filling out all the forms. And it takes a chunk of time. Mm-hmm. And I got to the end and it said, you should now pay like $500 to complete this form. And I'm like, whoa, what did I do? Because FAFSA, the F is free.
It's free.
And so my point is there are a lot of scams out there.
Oh,
and
goodness.
Be really, really careful. So I had to get rid of that and then do it all over again on the proper site. But it looked very official and it looked like the real
really
form.
Scary. Because that's very personal information.
Exactly. So be really careful that you've got the right site when you do it, and do it early and list all the schools. Even if you end up not applying, go big in the list of schools that you apply for. And again, if you go on our website, the DFI website, which is Look Forward Wisconsin, lookforwardwi.gov. A lot of great information on filling out the FAFSA and all the academic and career planning that you could ever wish for.
So there are a ton of resources out there. You just have to start, you know, doing the digging and really setting aside the time to do
it.
Yeah,
and the financial aid officers and the student aid officers at the colleges are so helpful. They're like navigators. Mm-hmm. So I would highly recommend setting up an appointment early with a financial aid officer, sitting down with them. I'm sure that they will enlighten you so much in this very complicated process.
Kathy, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure, and happy 529 Day.
Kathy Blumenfeld is Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Financial Institutions, and that department regulates state-chartered financial institutions and securities. It houses the Office of Financial Literacy and College Savings Programs, and we've been talking about 529 college funds. Technology was supposed to transform learning, but in some ways it can be a barrier, especially in large lecture halls where it can be easy to tune out and play a video game or watch a movie. To prevent that, at least one school in the Big Ten is banning certain websites and classrooms. But UW-Madison is trying to keep students' attention another way. Shemaine Mills reports.
The days of pen and paper in the classroom aren't over, but now you're more likely to find laptops in a college lecture hall, and not always for taking notes. It's also used for drawing in this UW-Madison anatomy class taught by Professor Julie Stamm.
We're going to do a lot of drawing and labeling. You'll see that there are templates posted. There's a template today. There's templates posted for the upper extremity. There will be the same for the lower extremity.
The class is designed to be interactive so students pay attention and more of the material can sink in. Technology is there to help with learning, not hinder it. But sometimes social media sneaks its way in. It is, after all, a room full of college students, and the fear of missing out, or FOMO, can be strong. Kaylee Nidas, a junior from Kokana, is enrolled in the anatomy class. It's fast-paced, so she doesn't have time to check Facebook or watch movies. But she admits it's tempting.
I think it's hard for a lot of us to like disconnect, even if it is for just a lecture period.
Because social media is designed to be convenient, Nita says it's available even when you probably shouldn't be looking at it.
A lot of people have computers that you can text on your computer now too. So in a class that I take notes on my computer, so sometimes it's even hard to not just take a peek at that when you're sitting in class.
And that's what many instructors are up against. Is their PowerPoint or lecture as interesting as, say, the latest episode for Game of Thrones? Purdue University's taking no chances. In large lecture halls on the Indiana campus, entertainment websites like Hulu, Netflix, and Pandora are blocked by the campus Wi-Fi. Purdue's IT director, Mark Sonstein, says students on those sites during class were hogging bandwidth needed for academic purposes.
Yeah, so last year we received concerns, complaints, and things like that about the capability of Wi-Fi and the lack of availability to connect to it, or slowness on the network, especially in our large lecture halls.
Surprisingly, Seinstein says they didn't get any complaints from students that certain websites were being blocked. Over the years, UW-Madison has had requests to do something similar, but hasn't, says Brian Rust, the former spokesman for UW's Department of Information Technology.
To help students, staff, and faculty, we want to provide the best network that we can and not put restrictions on it.
Back in that anatomy class, upbeat music played while students filed in. Most students don't realize they're in a special class designed to keep their attention and battle all those distractions. But Nikita Patel knows one thing. She likes this class better than other big lecture classes she's taken.
In the past, there have been lectures where professors will just read off of slides, and, you know, that's not very engaging, so students might look on their phones or check social media.
But in this class, students are kept busy. Every 20 minutes, the class shifts gears. There's lecturing, then there's drawing. There's also group problem solving. And students sit close to the instructor. No one's allowed to sit far away in the balcony. Teaching assistants roam the aisles, ready to help students with questions. This type of active learning became popular in the 90s. At UW, it's referred to as the REACH program and has dramatically boosted attendance in large classes. But it doesn't eliminate lecturing or magically make difficult entry-level courses popular. However, surveys show student distraction is lower. Shemaine Mills, Wisconsin Public Radio.
This is The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.